Hello and welcome to the show. It's Wrestling with Entertainment, the only audio experience on the web today. The trusted choice for interviewing all your favorite wrestlers every Tuesday and Wednesday, and previewing and reviewing the latest shows from WWE, AEW, New Japan, and everything in between every Saturday on YouTube and Castbox, sponsored by Rogue Energy and Player One Coffee. I'm of course your host, James J, flying solo today. And of course, it was a good week for wrestling went as last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we had guests, Isaiah Cross on Monday, CJ Clarkson on Tuesday, and Ricky Roca on Wednesday. Three incredible interviews with three incredible talents. Definitely go check those out if you haven't already. But always looking to the future. This upcoming Tuesday we have J Biv, a part of the JROTC, JR Lindsay's faction up in Wrestle League, obviously a friend of the show. Us and J Biv, we talk his issues with his actual blood brother, Leo Black, some turmoil in the JROTC. We talk about his goals and aspirations. Ace is on that list. Claiming his first championship. Maybe taking over the JROTC. Who knows? We don't know. He said he wasn't sure, but I think he kind of knows at this point. But definitely check that out on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we have Matthew D. Luna. Down in Texas, we talk about his relationship and rivalry with Leslie Lorenzo. We talk being a 10-year veteran and only being in his early 20s. We talk about a recent match against Matt, Mike Bennett, my bad, Mike Bennett. We talk about retiring a local legend. We talk about family. Family is very prevalent in his career. He tag teamed with his stepbrother for a number of years. Now he's teaming with his cousin. His mom frequents the shows. Family is a very important thing to Mr. De Luna. So again, definitely check those out when they drop later this week. Always looking towards the future. On the 9th we have Leo Black. On the 10th we have Elvis Andre. On the 17th we have Kindle Fire. So check out our social medias to check out who we're interviewing, when we're interviewing them, links to those interviews and so much more. Obviously on our YouTube page as well. Everything will be posted there. All right. Now that we're done putting ourselves over, never done, James. We are wrestling with WWE Saturday Night's Main Event. It took place last Saturday in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Because when you think pro wrestling, you think Fort Wayne, Indiana. At the Allen Country War Memorial Coliseum, attendance was about 10,714. Honestly, this was one of the better Saturday Night Main Events that we've had in recent memory. I mean, it's the only one we've had in quite some time, about 6 months or so. So, I didn't really have too many issues with this show, but we'll kind of talk about it. First match up was Jade Cargill, Michigan, and B-Fab defeating Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss. In 16 minutes 45 seconds. The longest match on the card. Think they could have dealt with maybe 6 minutes less and still had the same result. That's one thing I'll say about this show. Like, none of our predictions kind of came true. Everything definitely was very unpredictable, I would say. But yeah, Cargill got the pin on Rhea Ripley. Good, shock value for, their upcoming match. So, Jade has some heat going into the match. We got some issues and friction between Rhea and Charlotte. We'll kind of see how that plays out as time progresses. But yeah, I think this accomplished what it needed to do. Again, maybe a little bit too long, but other than that, no complaints. Three and a half stars, I'd say. The next match on the card was Sol Ruka defeating Becky Lynch by disqualification in 2 minutes 25 seconds. And this did not serve anybody well. Becky did not. I feel like Becky didn't necessarily deliver her best performance. I feel like Sol looked a little weak in her performance. And then, obviously the botched soul snatcher. It's just kind of all disappointing at this point. Feels like Soul is kind of crumpling under the pressure of the bright lights, honestly. Yeah, it seems like if you remember at the Olympics one of those years, Simone Biles, the twisties, and I feel like Soul kind of has the twisties. Like, I'd feel comfortable if she didn't do the soul snatcher just to kind of get her feet underneath her and kind of get her bearings, because it just seems like they thrusted her into a rivalry that, I'm sorry to say, she was not ready to be in by any means. Obviously, this was for a higher purpose. Obviously, it was to set up the Class in Italy match. But I mean, even now, that seems kind of in question because Soul may be not medically cleared. That has yet to be seen, so we don't know at this point. But this was a segment that did not do anything for anybody. It honestly made things worse, I would say, my opinion. That being said, I would give this, and I mean, it's not even a match, so it's a segment that kind of went wrong. So it was 2 minutes 25 seconds, 2 stars, and I'm being generous with that. All right, then we have a Penta defeating Ethan Page in 14 minutes 25 seconds to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Quite honestly, the best match on this card. Ethan Page has so much heat, is so good in that ring, knows how to control a crowd, and he just put on a banger with Penta, honestly. Like, you didn't. With Ethan, you could say it kind of could go either way. I would only give the edge to Penta because, he's on fire right now. He's riding momentum. He probably has the best, title run in WWE right now with the Intercontinental Championship. So, it's hard to take that momentum off of Penta for a guy that's still kind of building his momentum. But I think that this, unlike the Sol Ruka match, this served Ethan Page so well. I wouldn't say, this was a chicken salads type scenario, but he put so much more into that match, and he did so much, and there was so much gaga in a good way. I just did, for honestly, this solved everybody. It gave Penta a viable and challenging, competitor, and it kind of solidified Ethan Page as a future star in the making, 100%. So, by all intents and purposes, this was a four-star match. Then we have Paige and Brie Bella defeating the irresistible forces. I was gonna say irresistible bowels. The irresistible bowels, Lash Legend and Nia Jax to retain the women's tag team championships in 8 minutes 25 seconds. Honestly, a bit of a surprise this match. I'm not gonna lie. I definitely thought the Lash and Nia was gonna win this one. I thought that they had the heat. I thought that they, had what they needed to get the titles back. Obviously Paige and Brie had their little, run. They defended their championships, so now it is time to drop it. What, like a month after Mania? But no, they are still your tag team champions. Yeah, so that was definitely a shocker. 3.5 stars. It was a 3-star match. The shock was 3.5. Then we have The Vision, Logan Paul and Austin Theory with Paul Heyman, defeating the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, in 16 minutes 30 seconds to retain the World Tag Team Championships. Well, I mean, first and foremost, I wasn't really a big fan of the match. I kind of lost interest at this point. And, it was just kind of gaga to not let the Street Profits win. It did kind of seem like a middle of the card Raw segment. Like, in all honesty, Penta and Ethan Page should have ended closed the show because they were the hottest thing on that show. By the time this rolled by, I wasn't like my peak interest had peaked at that point. So, I mean, we had the gaga, we had the interference. It was okay. It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't. I wouldn't say that it served a good purpose, honestly. And I mean, it's even worse now because Logan Paul is injured. Will be out for around 6 months. So I mean, this vision, like, how many, like, who needs to break their neck to just put this thing out of its misery already? Like, Seth gets injured. Braun gets injured. Bronson get injured. They bring in Austin Theory and Logan Paul. Logan Paul get injured. Like, the fuck? Like, seriously. Like, guys, what are we doing here? I hate this. And it's, this thing's on life support. Somebody needs to cut the cord at this point. It needs to stop. In all honesty, I feel like, for Logan in particular, this is, a blessing in disguise, in all honesty. Because His character was going nowhere real fast in the Vision. Like, he was relegated to, little buddy in the Vision, when in all honesty, Logan Paul needs to be in the title picture. I mean, that's not something people want to hear. I get it. We don't like Logan Paul. I don't like Logan Paul. But you're not utilizing him properly. Like, put a belt on this guy. And I mean, a singles championship. You're just coasting with him at this point. So I do hope when he does come back, it's not a part of the Vision. It's in a more main event role where he is, the focus of the group or the focus of the rivalry rather than whatever the hell he was doing here. So, I mean, that's my hope at the end of the day, but that has yet to be seen. Either way, the tag team match, pretty predictable, 3 stars. The show as a whole, I would say, was pretty good. I'd say thumbs up, honestly. I'd watch it again. And I'd definitely watch Penta and Ethan Page again. That match was a banger. So, yeah. So all positive, I say. Well, not all positive, like I said. Logan Paul got injured. But hey, maybe that is a positive for some people. That will conclude our coverage. And now, a quick word from our sponsors.
So, Rogue Energy, the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, whether it be juices, shakes, smoothies, and everything else in between. Their low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Their extreme formula provides the most energy, focus, and sports performance possible. Their hydration line offers focus ingredients without the added caffeine. Drink it anytime you're thirsty. And their shake formula is so delicious. Who doesn't love a cookies and cream, zero calorie energy milkshake? First and foremost, they've designed every Rogue product line with performance and effectiveness in mind. It is critical that you look at the nutrition panels of drinks when comparing options. There are countless off brands out there that are presenting low quality, poorly dosed formulas that amount to expensive caffeine water. Every formula they produce is designed with optimal levels of high quality ingredients. Additionally, you won't find a powdered gaming drink brand that dissolves better. No need to have chalky textures in your drink. Their taste profiles are unmatched, specifically designed for gamers, athletes, students, entrepreneurs, people with hectic schedules, individuals with low energy, podcasters who can't shut up, people who are health conscious, and so much more. Great as both a pre-workout and as a coffee energy drink replacement. Specifically designed every Rogue product line to be the best gaming drink on the planet. Rogue energy, more focus, more wins.
Use promo code WrestlingE for 10% off your next purchase. And we are wrestling with AEW Double or Nothing. Took place in Queens, New York. RIP Scooter Dust. At the Louis Armstrong Stadium. Attendance was 14,394. And honestly, it seemed like there was more people in that crowd, if I'm being completely honest. It looked like a packed crowd. And if I'm being honest, one of the best crowds I've seen in quite some time, like WWE or AEW, honestly. Like all the shit that they were feeding them, like, they fucking ate it up. And that's the kind of crowd you want, honestly. The show as a whole, I didn't think was bad. Which is saying something for me because, like, I'm not a fan of AEW. Maybe I just watched this in a good mood, but I felt what needed to be done was done for what they were doing. So, I think that they made like the right, choices to, in some regards. So let's talk about it. First match on the main card, New York Street Fight. How is it a, why isn't that just an I Quit match? Ugh. An I Quit match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. If Cope and Cage lose, they will have to disband as a tag team forever. Already in the twilight of their career, so maybe like another like what 6 months. Cope and Cage, Christian Cage and Adam Copeland versus Dax Shepard, Cass Hardwood, FTR. Cage and Cope won in 19 minutes, 35 seconds. Okay match. Had its gaga. I mean, it wasn't overly, overly ridiculous when it came to the things that they did, when it came to, the gaga of it all. It wasn't like too offensive. Like, I mean, it didn't use like syringes or anything like that. It wasn't, overly bloody either. So, I mean, and it was the best way to start the show as well. I mean, in all honesty, get the crowd was hot. They were ready, and they delivered, a car crash, and that's, essentially what it was. Good moment for Cope and Cage, another tag team title run under their belt. Bette made an appearance, so that's nice as well. All in all, did what it needed to do. Didn't feel 19 minutes either, so that's good as well. Then again, I was doing other things while I was watching the show as well, so maybe that had attributed to as well. That being said, I give this a 3.5. Then we have Colt Cutsca take Shida, defeated Kazuchika Okada, to capture the AEW International Championship in 19 minutes. Honestly, another good match. Very New Japan-esque. It's rare to actually see Okada put effort into a match nowadays. And obviously, Takeshita is like on the rise. And I mean, I could make the argument he needs to be in the title picture right now. People are high on him. Why not pull that trigger on somebody that hasn't been in that picture to begin with? But I digress. Good heat for both guys. Obviously, it ended with the Don Callis family t turning on Konosuke. Then Kyle Fletcher came in, returned. Like his music hit and like the crowd popped and like I didn't even know I didn't know whose music it was, if I'm being honest. And then when he came out, I was like, really? That pop for him? Question mark? Question mark? Exclamation point? Question mark. It seemed like it was going to be a nice little moment for Kyle to, help Konosuke and kinda strike out on his own. It was not to be. Kyle attacked Konosuke, making his intentions clear. Where that leaves Okada, I don't know at this point, but obviously things are not done between the two of them. Three and a half stars. Women's Owen Hart Cup quarterfinal match. Athena defeated Mina Shirakawa in 11 minutes. I'm being honest, I don't remember that much of this match. I remember Mina's entrance, of course, Mina. But I mean, if you can't really remember a lot of what happened, like, you kind of feel like that's a sign of the match wasn't that memorable to begin with. Happy for Athena. She won on paid preview, which is like, rarer than snow in hell at this point. But yeah, I probably give this 2.5. And the crowd was dead for it as well, so that was, unfortunate, but also, a factor as well. So 2.5. Then we have no time limit match for the AEW Continental Breakfast Championship. Jon Moxley, Cillian, no longer a Nazi, defeated Kyle O'Reilly Parts in 18 minutes 45 seconds. Decent match. Feel like it could have been better and maybe like 5 minutes shorter, but I mean, hey, that's most of AEW's matches. Nothing, I don't remember anybody bleeding, so I mean, that's good, which is, immediately gives it a star bump in my opinion. But it was way too long, and the longer these matches go, especially a Jon Moxley match, it's hard to get invested, if I'm being honest. So I would give this 3.5. It was a 3-star match. Moxley not bleeding bumped it to 3.5. All right, Owen men's Owen Hart Cup quarterfinal match. Will Ospreay defeated Samoa Joe in 13 minutes 55 seconds. I guess they find us a bad Samoa Joe match, like legitimately. Show me a match that Samoa Joe has had that was bad. This was definitely not a bad Samoa Joe match. It was good. Good match, good heat. Didn't overstay its welcome, did exactly what it needed to do in the time allowed, and it succeeded, in my opinion. 4, 4.5. Yeah, this succeeded for me. 4.5. Owen Hart, a men's Owen Hart Cup quarterfinal match. Swerve Strickland defeated Bandido in 15 minutes 20 seconds. Match should have ended with that high kick, where he was on Bandido's shoulders and he kicked him in the face. Like, that was like an awesome spot, if I'm being honest. And then obviously the Swerve stomp at I mean, that should have been the end of it. 3 minutes too long. Still not a bad match. 3.5 stars. To Claw 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 defeated, who are you? Sheeta, Jamie Hayter, and Chris Statlander to retain the AEW Women's World Championship. 14 minutes. I've yet to see a bad match with Tekla. I don't know what she does on AEW TV, but her paid preview matches are quite good, if I'm being completely honest. I like the match. I think that Tekla is performing on a higher level than a lot of the girls nowadays, and that's not just AEW I'm talking about, I mean in WWE as well. Like, she's one of the top performers. So, in and out of the ring, I think that she's a solid promo. I think that she's a solid hand in the ring. She knows how to tell a story. She knows how to sell. And I think everything that she does works. So, this worked for me. 3.5 stars. We have Stadium Stampede with a bunch of fuckers that I don't wish to say all their names. We have the Elite, the Horde, Sid the Kid, and Chris Jericho versus the Demand, the Don Callis family, and the Dogs with Andrade. Fuck that guy. Yeah. I didn't watch the match. I knew that this was a clusterfuck of what the fuck, and I just, kind of tuned out at that point. Like, nothing that was on the screen was interesting me. The Elite with Jericho were just, they all wore suits, so it was kind of hard to distinguish everybody from each other. I didn't even know how many guys was actually in the match because there's so many fucking guys in the match. And yeah, it was just, Diarrhea doesn't have that as much splat as this match had when it came to people in it. Like, there's at some point self-containment, I honestly. Like, take Pepto-Bismol. It took me like maybe 15 minutes to realize David Finlay was in the match, if I'm being completely honest. And that's when I was looking up at the screen. I was like, oh, David Finlay is in this match. I didn't even know who Clark Connors was. I know who Clark Connors is. So yeah, I mean that. And I mean, we're just kind of overshadowing the fact that Jack Perry murdered a guy, Mark Davis, and like there was like no reaction to that whatsoever. I did not like this. Negative one star. Then we have title versus hair match for the AEW World Championship. If MJF loses the match, he would have to shave his head. MJF defeated Darby Allin in 23 minutes, 10 seconds. It was a good match. I mean, at this point, you're kind of burnt out, whether you watched it in the whole thing or, in two segments like I did. One, I watched 2 hours and 2 hours. So, I mean, I was kind of burnt out after watching what, an hour and a half of this. And yeah. But I still watched the match. I think it did what it needed to do. I mean, Darby is Darby at this point. He's going to do stupid shit. MJF, I don't think he needed to say, not a part of any of the crappy boroughs to get the heat. Like, they're in his hometown, well, his home state, so I mean he's gonna get cheers one way or the other. But I mean, the most, AEW main event, I would say. I mean, two guys that started off in the company. I don't know if Darby legitimately like busted himself open or if that was planned, which I mean is kind of nice because if you're questioning it, then you know that it wasn't, you question if, it was intentional or not, and that's nice to think, at the in the moment. But yeah, like I said, Darby had a nice little run with the championship. MJF is the champion again. Business is probably going to be good with MJF on top. It usually is. So yeah, 3.5 stars I'll give it. All right, show as a whole, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Begrudgingly, I give this a thumbs up. There was good matches on this card, honestly. And if there was ever an AEW show I would consider going back and watching, this would be it, if I'm being completely honest. The first like Dream matches were good. I would definitely go back and watch Samoa Joe and Will Ospreay again. Swerve and Bandido, surprisingly, sleeper hitter. If I had to, subtract anything from the show, I would say that, the Stadium Stampede match, I would definitely speed that shit up, on four, speed up bars. But everything else was surprisingly tolerable, if I'm being honest. So, all in all, I give it a positive review. All right. That will conclude our coverage of AEW Double or Nothing. And we are wrestling with WWE Clash in Italy. It takes place, well, I mean, it's now, I think. I don't know when I'm releasing this, so let's say tomorrow. It takes place in Turin, Italy, at the Enapi Arena. And I mean, it's pretty cut and dry, five matches, all of them rematches, four of them from WrestleMania. Well, actually, no. Three matches that were WrestleMania. You know what? I'm just going to shut up now. Yeah, that's great for a podcast. They're all rematches except Cody and Gunther, from one show or another. And some of these matches might not even take place, considering some of the things that we've heard, in the last couple of, hours or so. Well, let's get into it. Singles match, Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I think Brock Lesnar didn't come back just to take another L to Obafemi. I do think that this is a series of matches, so obviously Brock needs to take the W on this one. Pretty cut and dry, in my opinion. The singles match for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship, Becky Lynch versus Sol Ruka. This is a match that might not actually happen, but we'll see what how that plays out. I would, I never say it's a good thing for people to get injured, but this might be a blessing in disguise for Sol to kind of take a step back, maybe get her head put on straight, and come actually back a bit stronger than she has. We'll see. If the match does actually take place in Italy, then I'd say that there's no chance in hell Sol is winning Becky Lynch. I mean, if Sol had maybe a little bit more momentum behind her, we couldn't have that conversation, make that argument. But it's clear that, in the words of Becky Lynch, Sol is not ready. Then we have Trial Combat for the AW, the World Heavyweight Championship, Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fuck You. And it seems like Solo said fuck you to Jacob at one of the house shows. Jacob is currently injured, from what we're hearing, rumor and innuendo suggest. I mean, that could change. Who knows? I'm not sure. So, if Jacob is injured, then they said that they do have a contingent plan, in place. I don't think that he's injured. Maybe a bit banged up. Obviously, we'll see on, at the show, but I don't think that this match is going to, get scrapped. I do think that it is going to take place. That being said, no way in hell Roman is losing, Roman Reigns for the win. Then we have WWE Women's Championship match, Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill. Rhea obviously for the win. I would like to see after the match, JC and Fatal Attraction, Fatal Influence attack Rhea and kind of get their heat back on her because they've kind of been dormant the last 2 3 weeks, which kind of sucks because like they're over and they're hiding them, which is stupid. But yeah, I don't see a world where Jade Cargill actually gets a W. So, Rhea Ripley for the W 100%, undoubtedly, indubitably. And then we have the main event, the last match, the Undisputed WWE Championship match, Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. I don't see them giving this to Gunther. I don't. Pretty cut and dry. Cody takes the W, if I'm being honest. Like, it would legitimately shock me if Cody loses. So I don't think Cody's be will be losing this match. So yeah. Cody for the W. All right. We shall see what happens. We shall do a full review of this show next week. So definitely check out that. But that will conclude this show as a whole. Thank you for listening. If you like what we're doing, please like, subscribe, comment, both on YouTube and CastBox. This was sponsored by Rogue Energy and Play On One Coffee. Join us this Tuesday as we interview Jay Biv, this Wednesday as we interview Matthew D. Luna, and join us every Tuesday and Wednesday for new incredible interviews. Follow the show at Wrestling with E, both on X, Thread, and Instagram for information on who we're interviewing, when we're interviewing them, links to those interviews, and so much more. Follow me personally at JamesShane993. For Coleco Yachts and Scooter Dust, I'm James J, and this has been Wrestling with Entertainment.
Hey folks, this is the Colossal Mike Law, and you are listening to Wrestling with Entertainment. Enjoy the show, support these guys. We appreciate it very much. We'll see you at ringside.